Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your sunny day. Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging in East Nashville. Chase McCabe, parts unknown, while Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Well, I never know, so I've decided the safer route is parts unknown.
Yeah, well, that's probably safe. I'd try Marco, to tell you, though.
Polo. Marco. Polo. Chase is like, I'm here. I'm over here. I know where I am.
I hear him. Where is he?
And it's close to Halloween.
I've got my hands out. Right, I've got the feelers out. Where is he?
It's like Poltergeist. He's inside the TV.
I hated that movie. Gave me the heebie-jeebies.
She was a that lady was a real that her and her husband were well renowned in that field. That was not just she was not just an actress.
You like know, the little well renowned. Yeah.
Oh, like in the paranormal field.
Yeah. Oh.
Her and her husband had quite the impact. They were like the first ones to like really, really tackle that field along. Like, I don't know if it was the 50s, maybe the 60s, 70s, but way back in the day. They were kind of like the pioneers of that field.
Talking about the Warrens?
Yeah.
Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I don't know if it goes all the way back to the 50s. I'm not sure, but they were like the first ones. Like when people had stuff going on at their house or their property, word got out that the Warrens are the one you called. And it wasn't because somebody was in your TV. Of course, you know, probably a lot of houses didn't have TVs back when they were calling the Warrens. But anyway, little known fact. Just thought
there
I would pass that along.
If you would like to go down that rabbit hole on your own time, feel free. Darren is just giving you the hole to crawl, to chase down.
Well, I mean, I hope that nobody would need the services of someone in the paranormal field from their home. Oh, wait a minute. Elijah on our staff could maybe use the Warrens.
This is true.
Getting closer and closer every year.
Have we got new developments on that front, by the way?
Just the same stuff. I've kind of just grown used to it by now. Just like in the middle of the night, my Xbox turning itself on. Sometimes go off.
But nobody's smacking you upside the head or anything like that. So it's just kind of still
not
messing
yet
with your game system, closing doors or
right,
whatever.
Yeah, and I'll hear like footsteps like upstairs if I know like I'm the only one in the house. And it'll freak you out for like 5 seconds, and then that's about it.
Okay.
But I haven't been slapped yet. I think the minute that I get slapped, the line has been crossed.
Yeah, once you see objects flying across the room, then it may be time to be looking for a new place to live.
The ghost hasn't opted out yet, is what he's saying.
Yeah. And it looks like now the NFL has opted out on the Titans-Steelers game for Week 4. So we have what we've been talking about all week, our first postponement, our first game getting moved. And as I've said all week, and I know Tim didn't really understand where I meant by it, but I meant the first 3 weeks was, I can't believe, you know, actually – they should feel pretty proud that they made it through 3 full weeks of none of this. I mean, college football has not been able to avoid a week since they've been going. And they've been going at it for, what is this in college football, Week 5, Week 6? What is it?
Oh.
Week 5 at least.
Well, yeah, depends on when you – is there a Week 0?
Well, yeah. I'm not sure.
Technically, yeah.
Well, it felt like zero games early. I remember the first week had like, you know, six games or something. Maybe it felt like week zero, but I don't think they officially call it week zero. But, you know, the fact that this is the first real hurdle for the NFL. Now, the big question is this going to be the last? I suspect it's not. And is the next one even bigger? And could it branch off from this, right? Is this over with just the Titans and the Steelers, or is there more to come?
Well, if you're putting your money on this is going to be the only one, then I think
you'll probably lose.
You're going to lose. And so I think if you're the league, there have to be, and hopefully there already has been, discussion of this, but I think realistically, making up this game is going to be hard enough. But I think you need to go the next few steps to create some space for yourself, and that is a makeup week at the end of the year. At least one. And I don't know if that's going to work out perfect, but I think you got to have a makeup week. These are things that we discussed 2 days ago when all this surfaced. All of the questions we had and all the possibilities that it could raise. And so I come back to it. You know, I think they did. They made every effort to make up the game on Monday. And as we said yesterday, Tim Hasselbeck was the one that really brought it to light when we were on the show yesterday with him. He said, hey, listen, they're not out of the woods. You know, all of the negative tests that have come back today, there still could be more positives. And sure enough, another two positives today, and there could be more tomorrow because you could be carrying it for 6 to 7 days after the first part. We don't even know when day one was, really. And that brings up another question is what happened from the time that they figured out that Shane Bowen tested positive? Did they make a mistake getting on the plane to begin with? I think these are all just questionable, you know, questions that I'd love to know the answer to because we can all learn how this virus works by some transparency here. But getting back to what the league has to do now, I think they've got to prepare themselves, you know, try to make up the game. Steelers won't be happy. They already aren't happy. You know, the week 7, week 8 thing makes sense if you can do it. But by then, the puzzle could be even more, you know, messy. So I think building in a makeup week at the end of the season is something to really consider. And then playoffs in a bubble, I think, absolutely has to be considered because you can't afford to have this happen because it could mess up your postseason entirely.
Right, and let's be honest. I mean, and you were alluding to this. If there are more tests come out positive tomorrow or Saturday when everybody thinks they're supposed to get back into the facility, I mean, we're going to start talking about, are they good for next week? Are they good to play the Bills?
I think it can't be said it's a given that the Bills game will go off as scheduled. And here's the other thing that you can't rule out, and, you know, we've got our fingers crossed, but hopefully the Vikings don't get affected by
the
positive test.
That's where I was going, really. Yeah, they get a positive test, you can bet that Vikings-Texans game is done.
And now you've got a real mess. Now you've got a real mess
with the schedule. One positive test, they're shutting it down.
Yeah, because right now with just this game, it's not great, obviously, but it's manageable. I mean, you've seen the scenarios of moving Steelers-Ravens from week 7 to week 8, play Steelers-Titans on week 7. This is the bye week. All of that. But if you add another game to the mix that gets canceled, or if the Titans aren't good to go, because what we've heard through this whole pandemic is, I mean, 14 days. You know, 14 days has been the magic number with everything. So if this keeps spreading and they can't play next week, then you have an even bigger mountain to climb if you're the NFL and trying to get this figured out. But at the same time, as we've also said since this whole conversation began, they knew this was a possibility. So hopefully they have some contingency plans of being able to figure out, all right, if this happens, we do this. If this happens, we do that. But it's certainly – because I was seeing last night, you know, 4 o'clock Monday, nationally televised, or possibly two Monday night games head-to-head.
That was being thrown out there.
Yeah, so I mean, there were a lot of different scenarios, you know, that CBS was going to carry this one nationally. You know, they were loving that, you know, with primetime programming and not really having much right now. But then this morning we get the news that you know, I had the TV on when it happened that there was another player that tested positive and another member of the staff that tested positive.
I'm proud of what our show has done throughout this whole era that we're in these last several months, because I think we've been given the right information when the people we have on. I'll go back to another quote, Ryan McGee. Everything that you do is in pencil. Right?
Yep.
I think they Absolutely. Penciled in the game on Monday. I think it's fair to say that, and Mike Vrabel was really hoping. Mm-hmm. And you can hope there's no more negative tests, but you can't know. That's what really Tim Hasselbeck eye-opened me. Like, I think we all, you know, we want to think positive, right? Oh, no more new positive, or just one? Okay, we can deal with that. Should be able to play on Monday, but you can't know. That's not how the virus works. That's what makes this different than anything we've seen before.
I understand the Steelers being upset because they're trying to figure out, you know, what does this mean? Is this our bye week? What are we doing? It's Thursday. We've already been practicing. But, you know, if you're Mike Tomlin and that coaching staff, you have to pull some of those players aside. They're out on social media saying this stuff to the league. Like, what's going on? Well, hey, what is this? What's happening? I understand that, but come on. Don't you understand in 2020, like, nothing's been normal? I mean, did you really think everything was going to be completely smooth and it wasn't going to be, you know, it wasn't going to – anything was going to change? I mean, come on. That's all you've done is dealt with change. You didn't have a preseason. You had to go about the offseason differently. You had to go through training camp differently. You get tested every day when you come to the facility. You're wearing masks in and out of the place. So you're already doing things that you've never had to do before. So should this be any great surprise that you may have to deal with a week 4 bye week instead of a week 8 bye week? Even though you've already been practicing, and I get it, you didn't get your extra day or two off, right? Because if this was a normal bye week, then maybe they would be approaching it differently. I get that. But, I mean, come on. Come on, guys.
That's the least of their problems right now.
They're not worried about whether you guys have the understanding at the beginning of the week this is clearly your bye week or not. Like, you know, things happen. And this is a prime example of that.
I think of it more this way. I still am on – if I'm the Titans, I'm a little more on pins and needles about how the Vikings feel. Hopefully the Vikings got through unscathed. Because remember what happened in baseball. The Marlins knew they had two players test positive. They basically just said, okay, you guys stay home. We'll go play the Phillies tomorrow. That's what happened on the first weekend of the season. The next thing you know, the Marlins had an outbreak. And the Phillies' schedule was screwed up for a week and a half, right? They weren't as affected as the Marlins, but because of the contact tracing and all that process, it messed up the Phillies' schedule. I think that is what I'd like to hear the league say, because the Titans got on a plane and they went and played the Vikings when they knew they had a positive. And remember, we thought it was odd that CBS – nobody knew that Shane Bowen wasn't there until a day or two after the game. Or I guess a day after the game, right?
Monday press.
Yeah. So what was that the protocol? I guess it was. I trusted it. But what did we find out? That just because everybody else tested negative, the one guy that tested positive who was around everybody else
all week,
you're not in the clear, right? The rest of, and then you got on a plane to and from Minnesota. You know, was the league okay with that? Because that sounds a lot like the Marlins.
We'll come back. Paul Feinbaum, our weekly chat with him. That happens every Thursday at this time. He's with, of course, ESPN and SEC Network, the Paul Feinbaum Show. We talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hottie toddy, who's it gonna be?
You know what that music means? It's time for us to talk to our next guest, Paul Feinbaum, brought to you every week by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we thought we were going to be talking a little bit more about the Titans-Steelers, you know, how that thing would play out on the field. But we've talked about more off the field than any on-field stuff this week, unfortunately.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of amazing how great the NFL has been, but these things happen. But in college football, this has been happening a lot more often.
And that's where I was going. So we know SEC play just started, and we've seen this. Yeah, I mean, the NFL actually made it through 3 weeks. I've brought that up consistently this week on the show. 3 weeks with no hiccups until now. And unfortunately, it's the team in our backyard that it's affected. And now what does this mean moving forward? Is there going to be more cases, more postponements? But you're right. College football has been dealing with this every single week. Now that SEC play has started up, when do you think – do you think it's the same? We should take the same approach with the SEC as everything else. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Absolutely, and you know, yeah, I don't care what anybody does, and you guys know better than I do that nobody has done it better than the NFL. It's going to happen, and it doesn't take very much for it to happen. And I've heard people theorize, well, you have a lot of schools in the SEC that have already almost maxed out. That's true. I mean, I think the average fan would be shocked if we got the real numbers from every school. But that doesn't stop it. And yeah, you know, I know everybody talks about how safety is the most important thing. And meanwhile, Ed Ogeron says, well, yeah, pretty much everybody in the team's already got it. I'm not sure how those two square, but it will happen.
Well, let's talk about that LSU team that certainly got everybody's attention Saturday afternoon and early evening as Mississippi State, I mean, just put it on them. KJ Costello, 625 yards passing. What was your shock level of watching that game? And next up for Vanderbilt is LSU. How different do you think LSU will look moving forward?
Well, it was pretty high, and you know, I always love it when I interviewed somebody the other day who said, yeah, I really wasn't that shocked. Well, I was. And because even though you can do the math very easily and say, okay, 14 starters out, you lose one of your best defensive backs in August, and then Jamar Chase opts out, who's your best wide receiver, and then the night before the game, your best cornerback is gone. I mean, you probably should have stopped and said, you know what, I don't like the look of this. But on the other hand, you hear everyone, including Ed Ogeron, talk about how much he likes his team, how much talent's there. You know, Miles Brennan, the quarterback's, you know, passing efficiency in high school, and you just simply get taken away by it. But they're not the same team, and they also don't have the same defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda, who's now at Baylor, and they brought back Bo Pelini, and I thought he called a terrible defensive game, and Mike Leach lived up to the billing, and Costello, as you mentioned, the Stanford transfer looked really good, and I think the State has good players. They didn't look particularly good last year under Joe Moorhead, and after the bowl disaster, he got fired. But you know, and I don't think they'll be. I really don't think Mississippi State is going to contend with Alabama for the crown. But they, in this one setting, they had all the right matchups.
I know we've talked to you about when this was going on of what's going to happen. There was three kids in particular in the SEC, and Cade Mays has gotten the good news from Jeremy Pruitt and I think Gatewood at Kentucky and these kids. But here's the question I have for you, and I know the SEC presidents, Paul, got back in a room and they revoted on this rule that, as the commissioner said, it's the rule that they put in place. But here's the thing. With timing and everything that's been going on and all the off time they had, why did it take them playing a game before they finally get this right? Why couldn't they do it before they started at things up?
I think they totally misread it. And you know, listen, the commissioner of the SEC has received universal praise and on COVID and getting everyone back. And I just think they heard the chirping, and it was everywhere, probably no place louder than Tennessee with Cade Mays. And, I mean, the commissioner a week ago yesterday gave an interview in Birmingham and said, you know, this is the rule. I think he was surprised. I'm guessing. I mean, even though I talked to him the other night on the air, it was more about the season than this. I think they misread the public opinion. And in this case, a lot of coaches speaking out and a lot of fans speaking out gave them a way out. And by saying this was an extraordinary year, they were able to undo the rule, but they should have done this earlier. And yeah, you know, I don't know what the calculation was in terms of Joey Gatewood. There may have been more of a gentleman's agreement there, because he went to Kentucky from Auburn, and they played last weekend. In the Caden Mays case, there's just no reason whatsoever why he couldn't have played against South Carolina. It was a rare miscue by the SEC.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, and of course he's brought to you every week by MTGRT and Gary Force Acura. Paul, I know we love to jump out and hit hyperbole, but I did hear it kicked around on the SEC network a lot on Saturday after Kyle Trask had a tremendous performance. Is he this year's Joe Burrow, just given what Dan Mullen can do with quarterbacks, all of these reasons why you can come up with? He did look pretty good, but what's your thought on his ceiling?
I don't think we've seen it yet. And what's so interesting about Kyle Trask is before last season, he was not even the starter. You know, he was the backup to Felipe Franks. And, you know, Franks got hurt in the Kentucky game. Trask came in. Without him, they would not have won that game. The season probably wouldn't have been as good. And it's hard to predict these things because he really languished around for a long time. He was Derek King's backup in high school. He never started, and he finally emerged. And it helps that he has maybe the best tight end in the country on the team. He's got really good wide receivers, but I did not expect him to be that good. He was fantastic.
You know, I want to hear more about the tight end because it is almost like a lost art in college football now. It's more and more rare that you see a tight end be used that way. Mike Vrabel even said it during his press conference that sometimes it's hard to evaluate tight ends in college because they're not used like they're used in the pros with all the spreads and whatnot. But if you do have one, boy, it's a great little change of pace for opposing defenses, and it's hard to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama had the best tight end in the country, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and he never got the ball. This is more of a situational football in the NFL. You're right, but even in Park's case, you know, he does a little bit outside, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he's just, you know, rarely do you watch a college football game where one guy just overpowers you. But Saturday he was that guy, and you know, again, Ole Miss's defense was not particularly good, but it didn't matter. He'll do that against almost everyone.
Not to overreact at all, but about a sluggish half. But Georgia really was struggling for a while with Arkansas well into the third quarter before they pushed them over. What did we learn about Georgia last Saturday?
Well, I think we learned that Jamie Newman leaving, the quarterback from Wake Forest, was a bigger loss than they anticipated. Remember about a month ago, he opted out and all the usual suspects said, well, he's leaving because he got beat out. Well, we didn't see the guy who beat him out Saturday. And the reason I think for that is that JT Daniels, another transfer, was not medically cleared. He'll play Saturday against Auburn, or he's supposed to play. And if he's not the answer, then Georgia doesn't have one. So I think it's a little bit difficult to answer that question yet. I expect him to be, but you know, DeJuan Mathis, everyone bragged about. He was lost, and then you get a walk-on. I mean, pretty much a walk-on in to save the day. So I still like this Georgia team, and I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but sometimes against really bad opposition, you don't play very well, and they just did not play at all in the first half. They did come to life. The one thing Georgia has going for it is a defense that probably ranks with the best in the country. So even a shaky offense can be enough when you have a defense like that. And it probably will be enough Saturday against Auburn.
Paul Feinbaum is with us, brought to you by MTGRT and Gary Force Acura. And Paul, we saw Tennessee go 1-0, they beat South Carolina, but South Carolina hung in there. I mean, they made it a close game. So with you know, in looking at everything as okay, it's only one game. They have Missouri this week. That's a should win for them. But how far do you really think Jarrett Garantano can take this Vols team?
Certainly not to Atlanta. I mean, he's okay. You know, Tennessee fans have been debating him for a couple of years. But that was not a performance that I would, you know, really feel great about, if, you know, being a Tennessee fan. I mean, pretty lucky to win, and I know you can quibble about that. The game seemingly was in hand, and then they let it get away.
And that's a danger. You wonder, you know, how different that would have been, you know, and maybe with a full stadium in Columbia. I don't know. But South Carolina made the mistakes at the end, but that was a really shaky win for Tennessee. I mean, you think about the obvious, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, you know, Florida. There, I don't see how, I really don't see this being a vintage year at Tennessee. I mean, I think 7 wins would be the ceiling, but and maybe not even that high.
And then this week we have Texas A&M and Alabama, and I'm looking forward to this matchup, as I'm sure you are too, between Jimbo and Nick Saban. You know, Vandy had Texas A&M. I mean, they hung in there with them, but what do you expect from this matchup?
Yeah, I don't expect much, frankly. I don't buy that A&M was looking ahead. To me, when, you know, the season doesn't start till the last weekend in September, I think looking ahead is pretty foolhardy. I just don't think A&M's offense is very good, and Kellen Mond has been propped up for 3 years, and he was ineffective, and against a really good defense, a better defense in Alabama with Dylan Moses now back after a year out because of injury. I don't think this game is really going to be close, and what I think could happen is question marks start to be raised. And I've defended Jimbo Fisher from some of my colleagues in the national media who look at the contract of $70 million and look at the record, because I thought last year was deceiving, but that's a really bad way to start. And if Saturday goes the way I think it's going to go, the questions are going to be unavoidable.
Do you think that because of what you saw in the Texas A&M Vandy game, do you think Vandy's maybe a little bit better than we thought, or is it more on Texas A&M?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell. I mean, I think defensively they look pretty good, and you know, from an offensive standpoint, it was slightly better. But I had zero expectations for Vanderbilt, so the fact that they were close in a game to me almost seemed like a moral victory.
He's Paul Feinbaum, brought to you every week by MTGRT and Gary Force Acura. Paul, we appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's always enjoyable. Talk to you then.
Paul Feinbaum, he is the best. You can see him on the SEC Network and ESPN, and also hear him on ESPN 94.9 weekdays at 2 o'clock. We'll have much more coming on the Titans situation. The game is off this week against the Steelers. We'll discuss that when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Titans-Steelers game that was scheduled for this week is being rescheduled for later this season after 2 more positive tests came into Tennessee. 1 additional player tested positive this morning. 1 additional member of the organization tested positive this morning. That's 2 more positive tests on top of the 9 positive tests that they already had, making it 11 positive tests so far within the Titans organization. After that happened, the league informed both teams this morning that it is canceling this game and rescheduling it for later this season. So not canceling, but postponing,
right,
which I think the league expected at this point in time. The Steelers probably would have been uncomfortable playing.
There you go, Adam Schefter this morning on ESPN, on Get Up and SportsCenter, talking about the postponement of the Titans and the Steelers. We will have the reaction from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel coming up at 11 o'clock, and then Floyd Reese, the GM, following the Mike Vrabel presser, and we'll kind of react with Floyd on what we've heard and how he would handle things if he were in that position today. Floyd never had to go through a pandemic when he was a longtime general manager in the National Football League. So that game has been postponed. And another thing that we didn't touch on earlier in the first segment, I've seen some of this, you know, on, and I know, once again, it's on Twitter, it's not everybody, it's just, you know, small minority. But I see people blaming, like, the Titans for this. Stop pointing fingers and blaming. No. That's so silly. I mean, really. Like, you know, I don't know how this happened. We don't know. That's why we talk about this all the time. Like, you know, all the people, I know everybody loves to think it always happens at parties and bars. Well, we found out that's not the case at all. Okay. It doesn't always just happen there. Does it sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. Gatherings at parties? Yeah. Yeah, it's affected the Titans that way. But, you know, it's not just partying and having fun. You can get it anywhere, okay? You can get it anywhere. Doesn't, you know, grocery store, what? If you're doing something essential, you can still get it, okay? You're not immune from, you know, this virus just because you're doing something essential. We don't know how this happened. So to place a blame game, now if there's a story comes out that, you know, the Titans took a day off and they all had a big boat party together and everybody was on a boat and they had their family, you know, okay. If it's a situation like the Minnesota Vikings or the New York Giants, remember when the Giants did that and Odell Beckham got crushed for that? Do we really think that's what happened? I mean, I would say highly, highly unlikely. So it happens. Like, let's not blame. It stinks that it's happened here. You know, we knew this was going to happen, but you just don't think it's going to be the team in your market. It just happens to be that, you know, today, this week, the Titans are the poster child for COVID-19 hitting the NFL.
Yeah, and I understand people's frustrations because, you know, this is now the second incident in which a professional sports team in our market has gone through something like this and had postponements. You know, Nashville SC and the MLS's back tournament, and now the Titans. So I get that, but you know, we also, and I feel like our show does a
Chase,
good job.
You can be frustrated as a fan. Those are good points. I'm glad you brought Nashville SC into this too. Be frustrated, but don't do the blame game.
Right.
Because you don't know how it happened. If a story came out and it was something really negligent, okay, then fine, pile on. We'll all pile on together. But there has been nothing of the
there's
sort.
There's no evidence
of
that.
Yeah, there's no evidence of that. So let's you can be frustrated that your favorite team is not playing, and I get that. But don't blame them for it. That's silly.
Right, because I believe that it's very important, especially right now, to understand these guys are human too. They're just like us. Maybe they have been afforded more opportunities because of the sport they play. Their bank account's a little larger than ours. Okay. But they're still human.
And that sucks for us.
Yeah, but they're still human. Okay? They have families. They have to worry about that. They go to the grocery store just like we do. And I think some people lose sight of that, and they just want to be like, oh, you're a professional athlete. You should know better. You should stay locked in your house all week so you can play the football game and entertain me. Doesn't work that way.
I think, too, it's important to keep top of mind as we move into phase three, right? Today is the day we move into phase three in Nashville.
We're there.
We are back to phase three, but it's important to note, and this we can learn from the Titans, that you have to continue to work even harder. If we're going to have more people out, which is what we want to be able to live and do the things we want to do, we have to work even harder to do the stuff that keeps us from getting it, right? The masks and the distance and all that stuff. Keep doing it. Don't let your guard down, because then we'll be back to phase two. But this is a great example, and it's also a great educational process for us to watch how it has spread. And just because one guy is positive and everybody else is negative doesn't mean that's how it's going to stay for the next few days. It's, you know, it's a great lens for a lot of people that may not be up to speed on all the details on how it can spread. This is a great process to go through. So again, let's first, like you said, Chase, look at everybody as human beings. Let's really hope that those that are feeling sick are okay, are going to come out okay, and it's not spreading to their families or anybody that's vulnerable, because that's a huge, huge thing, right? That's more important than anything regarding the play, the when's this game going to be made up, all of that stuff. But, that's what we have to make sure we're conscious of.
Yeah, because these guys could have very easily said, you know what? Not feeling it. I'm gonna stay home. And a lot of guys, there were a lot that did. The NFL, to my knowledge, had the most opt-outs of any of the professional sports. They were offered at, what was it, 100,000 or 150,000 or whatever if they wanted to opt out, which I'd take that. But they decided, hey, we're going to go forward. We're going to play. We're going to build off what we did last year, going to the AFC Championship game, and we're going to put ourselves and our families at risk of picking this up. And they did. So I just think that has to be That has to be top of mind. And, you know, back earlier when you guys were talking about the Steelers complaining, this falls in the what you signed up for category. So you knew this could be a possibility. And so I just want everybody to just take a step back, pump the brakes a little bit. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
What do we think Mike Vrabel is going to say here in about 20 minutes? How do you think he's going to handle today's presser? Because each presser every day since he's been talking, you know, there's been a new theme. There's been a new angle. There's been a new storyline. Yeah. How's he handle today?
I think he's going to stress the human side like we just did. I think that will be a big theme. And part of it will be, you know, how detailed are the questions? And are the questions more looking forward? Because looking forward and how you make this game up is a big part of the story. And then I think a lot of us, including myself, are curious as to, you know, what were the conversations with the league? I'd feel a whole lot better just knowing what the conversations with the league were once the Shane Bowen thing came to light on Saturday. And along those lines, Tom Pelissero has reported that the Vikings have no new cases, and they are reopening their facility with increased protocols. So you know that they still are concerned. They're hoping that they continue along those lines and nobody's infected, because then you still only have the one game that you have to figure out down the road. But what would really be tough is if the Vikings are affected, now you have more teams affected, more games affected, more people, all of that stuff. But they've been pretty reluctant to talk about what happened from the time that Shane Bowen tested positive. And then, as you mentioned before, Chase, there was a practice squad player that Teron Davenport noted who was put on the COVID list. So all of these things are important questions. And, you know, it gets into, I mean, I guess there's some privacy involved, but once again, this is educational. And it is part of how they got to where they are, right? How you handle these situations, the entire league can learn from, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought yesterday he was, you know, there are some times where he's not patient, and I thought yesterday he was. I want to know, you know, I hope somebody asked the question today, because we know there's another player. They're going to release that later. We'll ask it now. I want to know who the player is.
Do we know the other player yet?
Yeah, it was Kamala Correa.
Oh, it was Correa. Okay, I did not see that.
Yeah, he was put on the COVID list. And see, it comes out later in the day. You know, Robbie from the Titans will send out an email.
But nobody asked, in fairness to Vrabel. That's why I say the questions. And it's different with the Zoom. You know, you're sort of in line.
Right now, the players on the COVID, just to recap, the players on the COVID list for the Titans: Bo Brinkley, Kamala Correa, Daquan Jones, Isaiah Wilson, and then they have a separate practice squad COVID-19 list. Tommy Hudson, and then Greg Maben is the player that you were referring to, Willie, that he was signed, I believe, about 10 days ago, and it was just a few days later he was put on the COVID list. So,
Son of a gun, I just saw that. Somehow I missed that email yesterday. Late afternoon. Yeah, it was Correa. So I guess maybe it may not happen in the presser. I guess maybe it'll probably again be after our show.
Unless somebody asks, but that's what Willie was saying. Nobody asked the question yesterday. Yeah. Okay, who's the player?
Yeah. I guess you have to cross this bridge when you come to it. I mean, yesterday they were very hopeful they could play this game on Monday, and it would have been tough. Not knowing if Luan or Dory Jackson or A.J. Brown would have become available at all, but I'm not sure that would have been the case. Plus, the players on the COVID list, they would have been up against it, against the Steelers. But are they pretty confident today that the Bills game will be okay? Because I think what we've learned is you can't know.
I don't think they can answer that
question. If anybody really feels confident right now, I mean, that's a little – I mean, I think it's – a little silly to feel confident about anything. I mean,
yeah.
Right now, you're just trying to get day by day, get through every day. To think about the following weekend, I mean, good luck with that. I think we've learned through the last 6+ months. Fluid, day to day.
Pencil. Yep.
Pencil.
Pencil, not pen.
Yeah.
If ever there were a time for coach speak of one game at a time, this is the time. Because that's exactly what this is.
Come back, wrap up the first hour. Mike Vrabel at the top of the hour. Floyd Reiss will follow Mike Vrabel's press conference with us. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The questions of how did it originate, those are important questions, but I guess they're not going to be shared with the media. But what's the right amount that should be revealed?
Well, I think that they need to be as transparent as possible with the media, because we're not just talking about the media. It's just we're people to the public, right?
Right.
And so, therefore, I mean, because this is a public health matter, I think that they need to be as transparent as possible. In terms of identifying players, I know there's some sensitivity to it, but at the same time, I think it's important, and they have contact tracing. But, you know, there's been a couple times when I woke up and I wasn't feeling well, and, you know, kind of it goes through your head. Guy, you know, I went to Walmart yesterday. I had a mask. Everybody around me had a mask. We were socially distanced. If I have it, how can I even tell who I was nearby in contact with? Now, I know these guys are much more restrictive in terms of their circle of who they're around, but, you know, we also know they're not sleeping at the facility 24 hours a day.
Chris Mortensen on our show yesterday. Pretty good points by him. By the way, we've got you covered. MLB playoffs presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, we'll be carrying Game 2, Cardinals-Padres on 102.5 The Game. That is a 6 p.m. start time. And on 94.9, you can get Game 2, Mookie Betts and the Dodgers against the Brewers. That's at 9 o'clock.
Mookie started off 2-for-2, two doubles to get it going for the Dodgers last night. He's a player. And
he's pretty
Chase's
good.
Game 2 of the Reds Braves, what a game that was. Whew. That's starting up here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was stressful yesterday. Ryan Porth has given up. He's already
apparently Joey
me.
Votto has too. I mean, did you see his presser? I mean,
yeah.
We're a blanking nightmare. What?
Everybody in Reds Nation has given up, apparently.
What?
After one game.
What? You'd have to admit, like, they had ample opportunities to finish off the Braves, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They had a lot of guys on base, no question.
Yeah. How many times they have bases loaded?
Tons. And not only did they not get the big hit at the end of an inning with, say, two on, two out or bases loaded, but they ran themselves off the bases a couple of times, too, at critical times. So that's a tough one.
Got thrown out of third. We know. We talked about that. That was during the show.
They had first and third and a runner thrown out. Or, you know, they tried the little league play of guy runs halfway between first and second and gets in a rundown. I don't know if that was a called play or what happened. He just got a bad jump. But
it's a bad play.
The Braves were like, thank you very much. You know, we're not little league players. We can run the pickle. You know, we can do the rundown drill.
Yeah, I was obviously cheering for the Braves, but when they did that, I was even going, what the bleep are you doing? I mean, that was bad. Darren, I'm supposed to pass on a message to you that Cliff McCardle from Promotion sends sympathy to you and that your Indians put up a fight.
What a nightmare.
It was a great game. Cliff is, I will not repeat, I will not say it on air. That'll be my I'll send it to him in a text.
Oh, man, I was
it's,
you know,
not airable.
I'm rooting for the Indians, man, and golly, that was rough.
Pitching. I thought pitching wins championships.
They have the best pitching.
What happened to that?
They have the best pitching, and they got tattooed.
Tattooed. Just destroyed. I could not believe how bad their pitching was.
They couldn't come up with a guy to shut them down. And Brad Hand, who had not blown
a
save all year.
What was he, 16 for 16?
Yeah. And in fairness to him, there were some bleeders, right? He got bled to death a little bit. Some seeing eye grounders, a couple of infield hits. And then
paper cuts still hurt.
Yeah. And the chopper behind the mound, which they gave him a hit, that really could have been a double play. You know, and he bobbles it. They call it a hit. It was a little generous, but they had a chance. But, man.
Well, we have
two
to
out
play
of three.
These
it's
games
over.
Tonight. On, you know, 102.5 The Game and 94.9, because they each take 5 hours, so.
Well, the weather delay, that was a very long game, the Yankees-Indians. When they had the two delays in there, and it was long even while they were playing, It's the biggest problem with baseball. Pace of play. Biggest problem.
Yep.
I'll steal Mike Greenberg's line this morning on Get Up. He said, remember, they're doing it in Eastern time zone. He's like, and for the game that started in September and ended in October.
Right. It did.
Which is a pretty good line. Yeah, I don't know if that was his line or if the 46 people behind the scenes that write a lot of material wrote that, but yeah, it was a good line.
Yep.
Ian Anderson and Luis Castillo on the bump for Atlanta and Cincinnati. So looking forward to that one coming up in a few minutes. Let's go. Let's go, Bravos.
A lot of former sounds for the A's, and they play the deciding game against the White Sox later today. That's the only game that has gone to a decisive game three. The Astros won.
Ugh. I know. Unbelievable. The Twins.
Poor Twins.
Come on, well, Twins.
How stupid am I to pick the Twins? They've lost 18 consecutive playoff games. How do you lose 18 consecutive playoff games? How do you do that? Like, you would think accidentally you win a game.
And do you think there's any demons floating around Wrigley Field today with the Marlins taking game one?
What do you think? There's no fans in the stands, but still, I bet those demons are still there.
Everybody
but
watching.
But they won it all, though, so, I mean, they've erased that.
It's only so bad.
Yeah.
But the Marlins are one game away from moving on.
I know.
And if you haven't seen this kid, Sixto Sanchez, pitch, he's going today. Now, who knows what will happen on the big stage here, but the kid has got some electric stuff. Of course, that's what you would have said about a lot of the Indians pitchers. And they were throwing, you know, they were throwing some nasty stuff and throwing, you know, 98 miles an hour, but the Yankees just blasted them. Who was the kid they brought in for Carrasco? They were hyping him up. Buster Olney saying he's Gronk and, you know, Vasgersian and A-Rod. This guy's amazing. Grand slam.
Yeah, thanks.
The ball is still going.
Still going. That's when, if I wasn't a TV snob and I just bought Who Cares TVs, I would have thrown the remote through the TV. But since I'm a TV snob, I'm not going to mess with my TV.
You get a deal now, so, you know.
I would have chucked it through. Back in the day when I had cheaper TVs, I'd have chucked it right through the TV.
That's
I would
funny.
Have done that. Yeah,
I could totally see that. Yeah, and the guys that you know you used to live with and you know are buddies with,
they would have expected it. They would have all been running the minute the ball was hit off the bat.
I'm surprised that never happened. Room. Knowing all of you like I do now, I'm surprised that three of you specifically never destroyed a TV. Because of a
we destroyed event. Other things, just not the TV. The TV was very, very important. We did destroy other things. I will say that. I think the Padres are done, right? I mean, no Clevinger, no Lemat.
Yeah, their two most talented pitchers.
Their best two pitchers are not on the roster. Like, I think they're toast.
And they've got to win two in a row.
All I will say is on that, I am just glad that if my team continues, they don't have to see the Cardinals for a while. Because I don't want anything to do with the Cardinals in the postseason.
Well, as opposed to, I mean, I'll is take there really any, a better option? I mean,
I'll take anyone else. It's just that I've bad juju with the Cardinals.
Oh, you take the Dodgers?
Eventually. But they're in the same bracket as the Cardinals.
I don't know. Okay. All right, we will come back. We will hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel to start the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.